Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
High in the lower 80s. Right now it's 68 degrees in Nashville. The time is 9 o'clock. Says You is next.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's game with words guaranteed to elicit a different response from each unique listener.
I would be inclined to go with gagging. But,
okay.
Undaunted, we press forward, using every theatrical tool we have to bring forth knowledge.
You take a spittoon, you turn it upside down, you get a...
You get
herring on potatoes and everything comes down. It's terrible.
It's a show dependent on the quick response of our panelists and the strong guiding hand of our host. You celebrate the solstice, which we just celebrated. We celebrated the equinox. You know what's amazing? You'll get home next week. You'll hear this show. That won't be anywhere within 10 feet of the radio. Says You, right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Weather forecasters are warning that more unusually strong tornado-producing storms remain possible today across Midwestern and Plain states. Already this weekend, damaging storms have raced through the region, and one that passed through northwestern Oklahoma last night killed 5 people in and around the town of Woodward, where Alan Riffle is the city manager.
Anytime we have casualties that include fatalities, it's just devastating to the whole community, and it's particularly devastating when it involves children.
Tornadoes left a trail of destruction in Oklahoma, also in Kansas, Nebraska, and Iowa. As Kansas Public Radio's Brian Thompson reports, most of the sightings were in Kansas.
Across a large part of Kansas, residents heard this sound Saturday night, in some cases, repeatedly. Tornado sirens warned people to take cover, and in many cases, they did. That may help explain why no deaths have been reported in Kansas, at least so far, and neither have any severe injuries. Wichita sustained extensive damage, including 2 large aircraft plants and McConnell Air Force Base. Some of the worst damage, and at least a few injuries, took place at a mobile home park on the south side of Wichita. There were at least 120 reports of tornadoes in the 4 states. For NPR News, I'm Brian Thompson in Salina, Kansas.
Moving on to Syria now, questions are being raised about the United Nations brokered ceasefire. Government forces are reportedly continuing their bombardment of the central flashpoint city of Homs. As NPR's Grant Clark reports from his base in Beirut, the shelling comes just ahead of the planned arrival in the country of unarmed United Nations observers.
Opposition activists say the rebel-dominated districts of Qaliyah and Bayada have come under heavy bombardment. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the shelling in Homs is the fiercest it's been since the start of an internationally brokered ceasefire in Syria on Thursday. The army reportedly began firing heavy artillery into Homs neighborhoods 2 days ago. The Syrian opposition LCC network says 6 people have been killed in the offensive. These claims cannot be independently verified, but shelling is also reported at a northern Idlib village thought to hold rebel fighters. UN monitors are preparing to leave for Syria as part of a small observer mission. Grant Clark, NPR News, Beirut.
Firefights are being waged in the Afghan capital of Kabul today, and there have been large explosions in the city. The Taliban says it launched a series of coordinated attacks on at least 7 locations in Kabul, including a NATO headquarters, the parliament, and a neighborhood where diplomats live. At least 2 attackers reportedly killed, and 5 people have been wounded in today's fighting in Afghanistan. You're listening to NPR News. In Colombia, President Obama and other hemispheric leaders are wrapping up their Summit of the Americas today amid uncertainty about future meetings. One big sticking point is the inclusion of Cuba. The U.S. opposes including Cuba, and there is squabbling over the meeting's final declaration. Also, there is the scandal involving Secret Service agents and allegations of prostitution. The investigation has widened to include members of the U.S. military. One crew member is dead, and 4 others are reported missing following an accident. accident during a yacht race this weekend near San Francisco. Bob Hensley of Capitol Public Radio reports a search is underway for the missing sailors.
According to the U.S. Coast Guard, a powerful wave swept four crew members off of the yacht Low Speed Chase near the Farallon Islands, about 30 miles from the San Francisco Bay. The boat ran aground and broke up while attempting to rescue the sailors swept overboard, plunging other crew members into the ocean. Officials say the dead sailor had drowned. Using helicopters, the U.S. Coast Guard and the Air National Guard managed to pull three crew members from the water. The Low Speed Chase, based at the San Francisco Yacht Club, was one of about 60 boats signed up for the annual Full Crew Farallon's race. According to the authorities, all of the other participating boats returned safely. For NPR News, I'm Bob Hensley.
Media reports say flooding has killed at least 15 Chinese coal miners in two separate mines. State television and the official Xinhua News Agency say the mines are in the northern and central part of the country and that there are an unknown number of other miners who might be missing. China's coal mines are among the world's deadliest. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Concord, Massachusetts comes from the Firebox Barbecue. You like barbecue? So do they. On the web at fireboxbbq.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. From the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts in Concord, Massachusetts, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He spent all afternoon in the garden trying to get back to his roots. Barry Nolan. She started off this morning walking with the Brookline Babes, the rest of whom should be here any minute now, Francine Akbar. And he just took the day to smell the roses. Please welcome the highly allergic, heavily medicated Mr. Tony Khan. And who's the captain this week?
I will take that heavy responsibility.
Deep roots.
Barry will be the captain. To my left, team two, fresh from drop-off day at the dump, making offers no one can refuse, Carolyn Faye Fox. Sorry. Listen to this. Three walks today, a swim, maniacal running everywhere. That was the dog. He just went along for the ride. Arnie Reisman. And she took advantage of this magnificent spring day to do absolutely nothing. Please welcome the incredibly relaxed Miss Paula Lyons.
Princess Summer, Fall, Winter, Spring over here will be the captain.
Paula will be the captain. Is that?
Yes, sir.
Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, grab a pen and paper. To begin today, let's have a round of definitions and derivations. For 5 points, define, and for an additional five, divine the origins of the following common words and phrases. Carolyn, pie in the sky.
Pie in the sky. It's something that's very hard to reach, but avidly wished for.
That's true. That's 5 points. Can you imagine where this might come from?
It's a great phrase.
It is a great phrase, and that is a clue, actually.
Where could that come from?
It's interesting that you said it's a wonderful phrase. It is. It's almost melodic, in a way.
Mm-hmm. It comes
from a song?
It does.
I guess that was a pretty big hint. Then.
Name that ditty. Right.
No, but...
But it's not that I'm as corny as...
Oh. It'll be pie in the sky when you die.
That's exactly right. Do you remember what song that's from? You're getting a lot of points.
Spirit in the Sky.
No.
Is it from a Broadway show?
No.
It's Woody Guthrie?
Arlo Guthrie.
Pete Seeger? What?
You're in the... You know what? I'm going to give you 9 points. Anyone on the other side want to take a shot? Die.
Did Walt Whitman play the banjo?
Not right. That I know of. Yep. Anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Joe Hill. 10 points. Very good, Arnold.
Wow, good for you, Arnold.
Joe Hill is right. It is. It's a project or prospect of future happiness, which is unlikely to be realized, as we know. It is from Joe Hill's "The Preacher and the Slave," which parodied the old Salvation hymn in the Sweet By and By. And it said, it was quite popular, actually, when it was first recorded, and it was said, "You will eat by and by in that glorious land above the sky, work and pray, live on hay, you'll get pie in the sky when you die." Goes back to 1911.
Good.
Try this one, Tony. Definition and derivation of "make no bones about it."
Well, that means there is not a single doubt about this. It was said with the kind of affirmative certainty that so often came from my agent just before he disappeared. Make no bones about it, I'm out of here. So make no bones about it. Does it have anything to do with gambling?
Well, there is a reference to dice, but that people pretty much discount that. They say, no, that's not the...
There's a casting of the bones to tell the future outcomes of things?
You always have the best guesses at the table. It's not correct.
Isn't there a phrase, he made his bones to say you prove yourself? Does it relate to that?
It does not, actually. No. This is a pretty... It's a pretty simple origin. It's certainly a place where you would not want bones.
In your soup?
In your soup is exactly right. I gave them a big hint, and I'm going to give you the 10 points for that.
Very good.
It is a reference to the unwelcome discovery of bones in your soup.
Yes.
Arnie, definition and derivation of blonde bombshell.
Blonde bombshell. Well, okay, we all know what it means.
So you'll help us out then.
Yes. Well, it used to refer to basically a Hollywood starlet or pinup girl that was blonde.
Yes.
And clad simply.
yes, thank you.
Is it World War II? Is that where the bombshell came
from? We're trying
to
get to... I would assume that we're talking either World War II or Korea around there.
No, actually, a little before that.
World War
One. Before that.
Is that where it came from, bombshell?
There was a blonde bombshell in World War One.
No, not yet.
We're talking about Jean Harlow.
We absolutely are.
Okay. Are we saying it's a studio head, or are we saying it's another actor?
Well, actually, it was a promotion guy at the studio.
Oh.
But there is one other element here. Does anybody
know? Are we talking about her personality
as well?
Did
she drop a bombshell in a movie? Did she do something completely dramatic?
Well, it was all about a movie. It isn't that she dropped a bombshell.
It have anything to do with the graphic device of having somebody's face in a big star that seems to be exploding?
No, that's not it.
We're talking about her being difficult?
No. Does anyone in the audience know where it actually came from?
The movie Bond, the names of her movies?
The movie title. It actually, from
the
audience.
The name of the movie. Okay.
It came from the 1933 movie Bombshell.
Bombshell.
Starring Jean Harlow. And she became so iconic with this that in Europe they had to change the name of the movie to Blonde Bombshell.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it came from, 1933. So 8 points for that. Well earned. And Francine, try this one. Definition and derivation of the unkindest cut of all.
The unkindest cut of all.
A bris.
Yes. That's one interpretation.
Yeah.
Is it from Julius Caesar?
It is, in fact, from Julius Caesar.
Very
and,
good.
Of course, it means...
The stabbing he got from Brutus.
Stabbed in the back.
10 points. Nice job, you guys.
Good.
That's right.
Good.
The unkindest. However, let's see if anybody knows this. I'm actually misquoting. When I say the unkindest cut of all, what is it, actually?
Hey, put that down.
Anyone know in the audience? The most yes. unkindest cut of all. That's it. English teachers around the country I know are wincing.
Yes.
But it is from Shakespeare. Actually, the most unkindest cut of all. And that was Anthony's evaluation of Brutus's stab wound. Very good. Try this one, Paula. Less is more.
Oh. Well, it's something we've all gotten quite intimate with over the last couple
yes.
of years. We're all doing... I don't know if we're doing more with less, but we're starting to understand the concept in a whole new way, that less is more. It is, of course, a testament to the simplicity of life, especially when you're treating the environment or the kind of home you choose, etc. But where does it come from? I'm trying to remember. Was it right. because of...
An architect?
Yes.
Well, it isn't, but I will give you points for this because so many people do think about think this is true. Do you know which architect?
Oh. Mies van der Rohe.
It is from
Mies van der Rohe.
Yes, and he was the
he was a designer.
Minimalist.
Yes, he was the leading proponent of it. There's absolutely no way you'll know this. You want to take a shot at where it might come from?
How about that wonderful graveyard in Tombstone, Arizona, where it says, "Here lies Lester Moore, shot with a .44, no less, no more."
Yeah, it's 10 points for that. Yes, that's you get the full 10.
Was it not a Frank Lloyd Wright phrase?
No, it's actually from Browning. It's
Browning.
From Browning. It's from Andrea del Sarto.
It was shot with a Browning.
Yeah, it was. No. It's from Andrea del Sarto, the 1855 poem, and I knew you wouldn't know it, but now we all do. Try this one, Barry. Definition and derivation of to take umbrage.
Yes. Take umbrage is to take offense. It's something that is said or done.
Yes.
And umbrage was a small flat bat that you would use.
Yes. Burnt umbrage.
Used
the last crayon
in
the box.
Crickets. Right. And you'd whack them when they said that. Would that be a geographical?
It is reference? Not. No? You really got to go to the roots of the language here for this.
Penumbra.
Well, it's
penumbra.
A shadow.
Shadow.
Oh, take offense at the dark, inferred, dark shadowy side. Meaning of an insult.
He's exactly go. Right. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the Latin. Very good, you guys.
Very good.
It is to be displeased or offended by the actions of others, from the Latin umbra, meaning shade, and inferring darkness and gloom. And actually, in the 1400s, you used to give umbrage, but now, of course, we're smart enough to take umbrage. And that's how it came about. Very good. Let's go on to round two. The first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, "Please bluff." Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Barry's team. 10 points up for grabs to Barry if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word... Lurgulary. L-U-R-G-U-L-A-R-Y. Lurgulary. Folks?
Just the other day, walking with a pack on his back. He had clear blue eyes, and with a little bit of dough, there wasn't much that he doesn't lack. Where's the money? Show me the money. Get me some money. I heard it's love that makes the world go round and round, and money can't buy happiness. So I sent a box of smiles to my old landlord, and now I've got a new address. Quicker than a dog can bury his bone, faster than a stingray stings. Let's break through the ice and quickly devise a way to get more money for things. Where's the money? Show me the money. Get me some money.
Hi, this this is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you just follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, north or south, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You.
So miss, please, please, please help me up on my knees, because my list is getting longer every day.
Says You returns after this from home.
Melanie Fiona is a Toronto R&B singer whose recent work has earned her some high praise, including Hardware at the Grammys and the Juno Awards. Melanie Fiona joins Gian Gomeshi for a feature conversation coming up on Q from PRI, Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock.
I'm Warren Almey. Next time on To the Point, more than two dozen states have enacted Stand Your Ground laws like the one made famous by the death of Trayvon Martin. Are they really for self-defense or a license to kill? What's the impact on law enforcement? Next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock. You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. It's 21 minutes after 9, 70 degrees in Nashville.
Says You has always come from Parsons Audio. Professional audio sales, system design, service, and support. On the web at paudio.com.
Oh, I can make a little money, go a long, long way, so show a little kindness, please. I mean, who couldn't use a new pair of shoes and a freezer that would actually freeze? Show me the money. Where is the money? Get me some money. Get me some money. Won't you get me some money?
Harmonious Whale. That is Tom Wasselchuk on the guitar, Matt Rogers on the bass, Maggie Delaney Potthoff singing, and of course Sims Delaney Potthoff on the mandolin. Thanks, guys. This also gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers for tonight's game. That's Marcel Oliard and Ben Schur. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word lurgulary. Sorry. We will go first to a smiling Carolyn Faye Fox.
Lurgulary. You can add lots of things to water. You can add Tang or Crystal Light, Scotch, bourbon. All of this is fine. But if you add poison to water, You have committed the crime of lurgulary.
If you, ooh, they're mumbling out there. Evidently there's some lurgulists out there. If you poison water, you are guilty of lurgulary.
Allegedly.
Well, that's possible. Or, Arnie, perhaps something else.
That's exactly what it is. Yes. Actually, it's an adjective. It's very close to that because it's referring to a very hideous sound, the sound of strangling, gagging, choking, hyperventilating. He's made lurgulary sounds.
The sound of gasping, sound of choking,
yes.
Sound of...
Okay. Gagging.
Paula, what say you?
Lurgulary. It is... ceremonial garb worn by ancient European tribes to celebrate the solstice.
Yeah, right.
See, ancient, solstice, nah.
You say it's ceremonial garb worn by druids and other, like, notables.
Whatever.
Okay.
You know, druidry is now an artificial religion in England. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Druidry is an official religion in England.
Is it druidry?
Druidry.
Druidry.
That's what they're calling it on the BBC.
Yeah. Or, oh, okay, druidry. That's
druidry. Nice.
Well, I'm glad to hear
so
that.
So is it Druish? Is that the...
Yeah.
Druish.
Yeah.
Are you Druish?
It's funny you don't look Druish. You know.
It's the gagging noise you make when you eat, you know, ceremonial garb.
I guess that's...
I have to... Lurgularly really sounds much more like a stomach...
Yes. Well, let me just review these for the audience. So we have a choice. It could be ceremonial garb. It could be the sound of gasping, choking, strangling, that kind of thing. Or it could be the crime of poisoning water. It is one of those three. And the choice, Barry, is yours.
It's Carolyn Faye Fox's poisoning water. Next.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that is what it is.
I would be inclined to go with gagging. But
okay,
you are the captain. You can take a stand.
Yes, of course, Barry. Whatever Barry says. Poisoning
okay, let's
water.
Go with the water.
We'll go with poisoning the water. I think if you when people did terrible things back in the old days, and they would poison the well. Mm-hmm. Of some poor soul, they would dump stuff down.
It always ended in ARY.
Yeah, it always ended. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Carolyn, there is not much doubt, in Barry's mind at least, that lurgulary is the crime of poisoning water. Is that in fact what it is?
Lurgulary, the crime of poisoning water.
Yes! 10 points Barry. For Barry's team.
Good one.
Lurgulary. Okay.
And that just shaved 10 minutes off the show.
That's right.
Let's go on to round three. We are going to give you the characters, one by one, in classics of American literature. For 7 points, please give us the title of the work, 3 more for the author. Carolyn, first character we'll give you is Fern Arable, A-R-A-B-L-E.
A-R-A-B-L-E?
Fern Arable.
Sounds like the audience knows. Now, if the audience would speak up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, don't. Yeah.
Fern Arable.
Minor characters, of course. Minor characters.
Well, we'll go from the more minor to the more.
I don't know. Next, please.
To Fern Arable, we add Templeton.
Templeton. Oh, Templeton the Rat. Charlotte's Web.
Oh, wait, no. By whom?
By E.B. White.
All right, so you get 5 points for that, and 3 points for the author is 8 points for
okay.
that. Very good for a second guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning how to score as we go along here. try this one, Tony.
Yeah.
Fatso Judson.
Fatso Judson.
J-U-D-S-O-N.
Fatso Judson. Fatso Judson. Is this one of those nicknames for Moby Dick?
No, it's not.
Is this a book about Boston?
We're out to get Fatso Judson.
No, it's not.
All right, moving on.
To Fatso Judson, add Karen Holmes.
Karen Holmes?
H-O-L-M-E-S.
Karen Holmes.
See, we make them a little harder as we go on.
Karen Holmes.
I think she's a reporter for the Wall Street Journal.
Is this a sort of dark, crimey book?
No, I wouldn't classify it that way.
Okay.
Okay, so it's funny.
No, it's not funny either.
Okay.
Okay. Is it an autobiography with a curious twist?
Well, not really. All right, let's try another one.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
To Fatso Judson and Karen Holmes, add Angelo Maggio.
Oh!
Angelo Maggio.
Yes. Godfather?
It is not. The other side does know this, but...
Angelo Maggio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big role for somebody, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And to Fatso Judson, Karen Holmes, Angelo Maggio, add Robert E. Lee Pruitt.
Yes.
That's the army.
It's the army one.
That's right.
It.
Bert
it's
Lancaster the army one. On the beach. That one.
Right.
With the boxing.
How green were my boots?
Frank Sinatra's in the army, and the Robert E. Lee Pruitt didn't want to box. Was that the one?
Yeah. Well, no. I think we have to go to the other side. Army.
James Jones is from Here to Eternity.
That's what it is. James Jones is from Here to Eternity.
Oh, how sad is that? Oh, God.
That was a mental block if ever I saw one. I just couldn't put that together. Try this one, Arnie. Bubbles Girardi.
Oh.
Bubbles
Novel
Bubbles
in which
Girardi.
Appears Bubbles Girardi.
Sounds
Oops,
good.
I just heard it from Sounds about seven good. Rows back.
Bubbles Girardi.
Ooh, I don't think they're going to get this one.
Well, not on that one, I don't
All
think.
All right. But, to Bubbles Girardi, add Dr. Spielvogel. S-P-I-E-L-V-O-G-E-L. Dr. Spielvogel.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
This isn't Dashiell Hammett.
I think the other side has this one.
This isn't Dashiell Hammett, is it?
No. To Bubbles Girardi and Dr. Spielvogel, add Mary Jane Reed, a.k.a. the monkey.
Oh.
Damon Runyon?
No. Oh, I'm surprised. This one I thought you might get.
Oh,
and then...
Wow.
They're drawing a blank into Bubbles Girardi, Dr. Spielvogel, Mary Jane Reed, the monkey, of course, add Alexander Portnoy.
Oh, Philip Roth, Portnoy's complaint.
Philip Roth, Portnoy's complaint.
Spielvogel.
You get 1 point for the novel, 3 points for the author. So that's 4 points for that. And try this one, Francine. Shake Ilderim. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Spell it.
I-L-D-E-R-I-M, Shake Ilderim.
Shake as in S-H-E-I-K?
Yes.
Yeah.
Shake. As opposed to S-H-A-K-E, which would be a...
Yes, right.
You know, a crapshooter of some...
Well,
you know.
Bubbles Girardi.
Is this the Peter O'Toole?
No, it's not that.
Shake Ilderim.
Shake Ilderim.
Yeah, keep going.
To Shake Ilderim, add Esther. E-S-T-H-E-R, Esther.
Is this the Esther, Bible. Queen of the Jews, Esther?
No. There was an Esther, Queen of the Jews?
That's a novel?
Yeah.
I thought that was...
The guy, she's the one that baked the first Tomintosh.
That's not an American novel.
He's right.
Novel.
He's absolutely...
Okay.
How green is my home in Tosh?
Okay, keep going. Esther.
This is a harder category than I thought. To Shake Ilderim and Esther, add Masala. M-E-S-S-A-L-A, Masala.
Oh, M-E-S-S-A-L-A.
Exodus?
No.
You got a shake?
I do. Lou Wallace.
And
it's
all
not
adds,
adding up somehow.
It all adds up.
Sounds like a really bad date.
Yeah. It's a really tough category. All right. And to Shake Ilderim, Esther, Masala, add, of course, Judah.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about the robe?
Oh, you're in the right ballpark, of course, but it's much bigger than that.
Okay. Moby robe.
Moby. Yeah. Moby robe.
Yul Brynner in the caftan.
Yeah.
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur is exactly right by
Miskas Kaskowski. Shenkovich.
No.
What? A general, actually. I think was he a Civil War general?
What was it? Yes. A Polish last name.
No.
It is by Lew Wallace.
Lew Wallace.
Actually. Lew Wallace.
Ben Hur is by Lew Wallace. Yeah.
That's pretty close, though, Tony.
Yeah. Wallachinski.
Yes.
Wallachinski. He was a Polish.
Wallachinski. Okay.
I think we need to move on, don't you?
Okay.
Oh, boy, tough category here. Try this one, Paula. A novel in which these characters appear, Vlad Vladikov the Eagle.
Vlad Vladikoff, the what?
The eagle.
The eagle?
Yes.
Ooh. Vlad, I mean, it's like it's
boy.
Already sounds Vlad. Like,
tough
you
one,
know,
Phil.
Dracula.
Yeah. To Vlad Vladikoff, the eagle, add Jojo.
Jojo.
Yes, J-O hyphen J-O.
Did Boz Skaggs write a novel?
To Vlad Vladikoff, the eagle, and Jojo, add Mrs. Kangaroo and Child.
Oh, it's got it.
So Jojo meets Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
And to Vlad Vladikoff, the eagle, Jojo, Mrs. Kangaroo, and Child, add the mayor of Whoville.
Oh!
Oh! Oh. Horton Hears
Horton
a Who.
Horton Hears a Who
by Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. Very, that's 1 point for that, and
Horton
3 points for
who.
The author is 4 points for that. And finally, Barry, try this one. The novel in which these characters appear,
okay,
Shaddam the Fourth.
Who?
Shaddam the Fourth.
Gravity's Rainbow.
Ooh, good guess. No.
Oh.
To Shaddam the Fourth, add Stilgar.
Stilgar?
Stilgar.
These are hard. Right, don't say it out loud. Does anyone in the audience know this?
Yes.
Okay, a couple of people know.
Yeah.
A couple of people know.
We're drawing blanks over here.
All right. So to Shaddam the Fourth and Stilgar, add Duncan, Idaho.
Duncan, Idaho.
Boy, this is one of these you either know what he's
doing. Is this a Terry Southern?
No, but that's another good guess. It's not Terry Southern.
No, we're going to need the fourth here.
And to Shaddam the Fourth, Stilgar, Duncan, Idaho, add Paul Atreides.
Okay.
Now
it sounds like on the
clueless.
Don't know this one. Okay, no. Anybody on the other side know it? Audience, your turn.
Dune.
Of course.
Yeah, I tried to read that one.
Frank Herbert. Dune by Frank Herbert.
I didn't get very far.
No points for that, but tough category. Let's just move on to round four.
Thank
what do you,
you
say?
Thank you.
Round four, which is Barry's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word.
Really?
Two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Pickelhaub.
Pickelhaub.
P-I-C-K-E-L-M-O-U-S. No. P-I-C-K-E-L-H-A-U-B-E. Pickelhaub.
Pickelhauba.
Folks. There are so many reasons to check out SaysYou.net. You can find out where next we perform so you can join the fun. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. You can tell us what you think, make comments or suggestions, get copies of any show in our history. All of that and more at SaysYou.net. SaysYou.
Ain't right, don't be untrue to me. It ain't right, baby, farewell.
Mama, I'm talking. It ain't love that you handed out to me. It ain't love, don't stand and shout to me. It ain't love, baby, farewell. Whoa, goodbye.
Now I go on, but what's the use? You have killed my golden goose.
Right.
From now on, I'm on the loose.
Comes a revolution for me. It ain't right, no, no. It ain't right, no, no. Mama, don't do that, you know it ain't right.
Briefly, says you, pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, on the eve of tax filing deadline, we ask the question on everyone's mind, is this the best tax system we can come up with? Plus, writer A.J. Jacobs sought enlightenment in the year of living biblically. Now he's living to be buff. He joins us. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
More than 10 states have introduced bills or passed laws intended to ban Sharia law. Advocates of such bans describe Sharia as a threat to our freedom. But what is Sharia law? On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Sadaqat Qadri, who has written a new history of Sharia law. Qadri is a barrister in England who focuses on human rights issues. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. support for Says You and WPLN is made possible in part by the generous support of Nashville Public Radio members. You can join our community of supporters by making a tax-deductible contribution online at WPLN.org. Coming up in about 20 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. Right now the time is 9:39. It's 71 degrees in Nashville.
Harmonious Whale. Thanks, Maggie. Thanks, you guys. We've had a few moments with the word pickle halb. Yeah. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, as you might have guessed, it is a delicatessen term. It's a half sour with an attitude. Are you sad to see me, or is that a pickle halb? Actually, it's the perfect accompaniment in some establishments to a cheap cigar. It is the word for a spittoon, or for the ladies, a spittette.
A spittoon. A pickle halb is a spittoon.
A spittoon.
Could be, or it could be something else. Francine?
Well, if you were in Copenhagen, as yes. I was a few years ago, you are often presented with lavish buffets, which are called smorgasbords, of course. And you might see on that buffet matjes herring, beautiful little artful sandwiches, open-faced sandwiches, smoked salmon, other artful things. And you likely would encounter pickled halb, an odd dish, a mixture of herring and potatoes.
My sentiments exactly, ma'am, yes. Herring and potatoes.
Checkpoint.
Right. Is pickle help.
Kind of a salad okay. arrangement. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Oslo surf and turf.
That's Norwegian.
Norwegian.
That's
right. Pickle help.
Herring and potatoes. Well, it could be that also. Or Barry, something else.
A pickle help. Is the, you know those things you always see in World War One movies where the guys wear the little helmet with the thing on it?
With the pickle
It's off? The pickle, the spiked Prussian military helmet. You may recall, if you
like
think
I
back
said,
to the
spittoon.
Movie.
What is the pickle helmet?
All Quiet on the Western Front, when the hero is wounded and the medic is attending to him and he goes, "Your pickle, how is it doing?"
I'm a little unclear here, Barry. Is it the spike or the entire spiked helmet? That is the pickle helmet.
Yes, that's the kind of pause that makes excellent radio, ladies and gentlemen. I just
cut down in the prime of his youth.
It's the spiked Prussian military helmet.
It could be the spiked Prussian military helmet. It could be the herring and potatoes you heard about earlier. Or it could easily just be a spittoon. It could be one of those three things, and the choice, Paula, falls to you.
Anybody here speak German?
Yeah.
Anybody on our side speak German? What's
no.
What's
no. You take a spittoon, no. You turn it upside down, you get a...
Lots
of good stuff. You get herring on potatoes, and everything comes down. It's terrible.
But you don't know it how, but...
I haven't a clue.
Me neither. Carolyn, darling. No
you
clue.
Have got, obviously.
No clue here. Okay, then.
Okay,
so
then
what are we going with?
Let's do this psychologically.
All right.
Danish, give me a break. Come on.
Well, do you think...
I think...
Do you think that pickles would make you spit... More likely than they would cause you to have a
spike.
Well,
the question is, what does pickle mean, actually?
In German, could it be the shape of a spike? And that's why they've named it.
You got any ideas? Is there something that's saying something to you? In the way they spoke, their body language,
their psychology.
The fact that we've been looking at them.
I'll go with the spittoon. How about that? Really?
Who said nothing?
I know.
Well, go with something, will you?
Yeah, I'm going with it. What the heck?
Yeah. All right, Tony, they have come to the conclusion that a pickle halb is a spittoon.
Where are my notes?
Yes. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Please bluff.
Oh, please bluff.
Please bluff. All right, audience, 50-50 shot. What do you think? How many say the helmet? Well, Barry, I think the helmet is winning the day. Is that, in fact, what a pickle halb is?
A pickle halb is the spiked Prussian military helmet.
10 points for the audience.
Good job. They've just never been to Denmark.
This week's request for a spotlight round comes from Larry Schmidt of Madison, Wisconsin. Larry writes, not so many years ago, I was driving to church on a rainy Sunday morning listening to Says You. It was one of those awful pun rounds about artists' names. It just seemed like each one was worse than the one before. I couldn't write anything down, and I'm not sure when it was, but can you possibly find the round I'm thinking of? Well, Larry, we think this is it. It was back in season 6 when we played one particularly nasty round of artistic license. The following clues refer to great artists, but only by the most liberal of interpretations. Anyway, see if you can use those clues to tell me the creative genius I have in mind. An example, cut fodder might be Monet. Monet.
Oh,
Carolyn.
Yes.
What artist is brought to mind by intravenous lager, quickly?
Intravenous lager, quickly.
More beer here.
Beer.
Intravenous lager.
Intravenous lager, quickly.
IV ale?
No.
IV ale, IV beer.
Beer is beer?
IV beer.
Albert Bierstadt?
Albert Bierstadt is right. Bierstadt.
Oh,
intravenous
Bierstadt.
Lager.
Okay.
Bierstadt,
wow.
Bierstadt.
Whoa.
Tony, try this one. Obtains an extra equine.
Horse, extra horse. Extra attains.
It's not a horse, actually. It's another kind.
Mule, donkey, burro.
Mule,
donkey, burro.
Extra.
Burro.
Burrows.
Burrows.
Oop, oop.
Abe Burrows.
Yep. Wrong art form, I think.
Yes. But an artist nonetheless.
Yeah, indeed.
Burrows.
Attains.
Gainsborough.
Gainsborough is exactly right. Very right. Good. Obtains an extra equine is Gainsborough. Arnie, yeah. The deepest sleep of an ex-German chancellor.
The what?
The deepest sleep of an ex-German chancellor.
Deepest sleep.
Nappy Bismarck, wasn't it?
No.
Nappy Bismarck.
Wait. Rembrandt.
Rembrandt,
yes.
Is exactly right.
REM sleep. Billy
I have it.
The ex-German chancellor, of course, is Willy Brandt, and the deepest sleep is REM. Put them together and you have REM.
He got the easy one. Right.
Well, from this point on, they get just plain nasty. Francine, try this one. Hip guys like actress Taya.
Leone.
Taya.
Leone.
Leone.
Hip guys.
Guys. Leo.
Like actress Taya.
Leonardo.
No.
No, not Leonardo.
Hip guys like actress Taya.
Hip guys.
You got the Leone.
What are hip guys?
Oh, yes.
Cats.
Oh, the other side just
hipsters.
Got hip to this one.
Yep, we got it.
Hip guys.
Hip guys like her.
Well,
you got Leone, so you'll get some points, but I think the other side's on to this.
It's a stretch. Modigliani.
Modigliani is exact. Men dig Leone.
Men.
Yeah.
Bad.
Modigliani.
Give them 5 points for that because they did get Taya Leone.
And
we'll
points.
Go on to Paula. Scuttle the silver condolence car.
Scuttle the silver condolence card?
Car.
Car.
C-A-R.
Scuttle.
Scuttle the silver condolence car.
Was it car?
Oh, I just heard it in the
audience.
Purse, yeah.
That's right.
Silver hearse.
Scuttle the silver condolence car.
Plate? Rip? No.
No.
Metal?
You got the condolence car. I'd go with scuttle and see what happens.
Scuttle.
Rid?
Does anyone have this in the audience?
Dump.
Anyone on the other side? Oh, someone has it.
Scatter.
Anyone on the other side have it?
Can you give us a hint?
Well, I think scuttle is really the clue. That's
sink.
Well, I don't think it's good enough. Coal?
Yes.
Sinkerst? What's sinkerst?
Anyone in the audience get it?
The lady right in front of you.
John Singer, Sinkhurst Argent. Yes. Sink.
Oh, what?
Argent.
Look, I had Argent.
Oh, Argent.
I had Argent.
Oh, boo.
I had Argent.
I can go home happy now. Scuttle the silver condolence car is to Sinkhurst Argent, John Singer Sargent.
You know, that's tough because you've got the middle name and the last name, but not the first name.
Yeah.
So there's no John.
There are.
I know.
I got it. Yeah.
I know. I'm analyzing why it was so difficult
for
us.
Yeah.
I know, but.
Carolyn, I hear there are openings on Wheel of Fortune if you're interested. All right. As bad as that one may have been, wait till you hear this. Barry, what we call our family's favorite recipe of boiling water, gelatin, and haggis.
We call it Scotch Lax.
Yeah. What famous artist is brought to mind by what we call our family's favorite recipe of boiling water, gelatin, and haggis?
There's always room for sheep stomach. Jello is...
That's the way to go.
Jello sheep stomach. My Jello.
Michelangelo.
Michelangelo is exactly right. Now explain. That's 10 points. Now explain.
Jello.
Yes, make that 9 points, if you will. 9 points, they guess. My family's favorite recipe of boiling water, gelatin, and haggis is my clan jello. Michelangelo.
My clan
jello. That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round five. Gitana Garofalo of Seattle, Washington.
Garofalo.
I'm going to go that way. Of Seattle, Washington, despite pronunciation challenges from the rest of the panel, challenges us with a round titled Terms in Common. Each of the following set of clues define a single word. The faster you can tell me what that word is, the more points you'll amass. Carolyn, try this. The hidden word that is first defined as type of waistline.
Type of waistline.
Mm-hmm.
Cinch?
No.
Cinch or...
To type of waistline, add a monarch's domain.
Reign. I've got it.
Oops.
A monarch's domain.
Monarch's domain.
Is a kingdom.
Country.
Type of waistline and a monarch's domain.
Kingdom.
And to waistline and domain, add Gotham State nickname.
Empire.
Is correct.
Oh, empire waistline.
4 points
empire.
For that.
Empire.
Or Empire, if you prefer.
Empire. Very good. Try this one, Tony. The space over the stage used to store scenery.
The space over the stage.
Used to store scenery.
Catwalk. Dusty.
I'm sorry?
The loft?
No. To the space over the stage used to store scenery, add subject for Sartre.
Subject for what?
Oh. Sartre.
Sartre. Existentialism, despair, panic, nausea.
No exit.
Subject for Sartre.
The scene
Sartre.
Doc.
No?
Wait a sec. Subject for Sartre.
And to the space over the stage used to store scenery and a subject for Sartre, add moves through the air.
Flight.
Only a couple of people in the audience.
Flies
is right. 4 points. The flies, of course, the Sartre play the flies. Try this one, Arnie.
Les mouches.
What's the word we're looking for? Found in women's headgear.
Pickle hub.
could be, but it isn't. Found in women's headgear.
Found in women's
headgear?
Yes.
Feather.
No.
Okay.
To found in women's headgear, add quilting confluence.
Quilting confluence.
Stitch.
No.
Pattern.
Needle.
Seam.
Seam.
No.
Needle pin.
And to found in women's headgear and quilting confluence, add spelling contest.
Yes. B.
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 a bee in the bonnet, of course. A...
Right. And a quilt.
Lives to be booed.
Yeah, try this one, Francine.
No less, no more.
Basic structure designed to bear a load in a lightweight, economical manner.
Pillar? Arch. Arch.
Very close, not
lintel.
Arch. I'm sorry?
Lintel.
Lintel, no. Very
beam.
No. To basic structure beam. Designed to bear a load, add skirt style.
A skirt? A frame? A.
A is correct.
A-line.
That's
A-line.
Right, an A-line skirt. The last clue was top grade, which you did not need, which was A. And, of course, an A-frame. A is correct. That's 7 points. Try this one, Paula. A mechanism used to return the wheel to its original shape. Ooh, no one will get that one.
Mechanic. Return wheel to its original shape?
Yep.
Well,
I've never heard of this before.
What is a wheel when it's not in its original shape?
Do you know when they true up bicycle wheels and things like that? That's
a pump. A pump?
No.
No, I think it's okay. Go ahead.
To a mechanism used to return a wheel to its shape, a unit to hold clothing.
A rack.
Hamper.
A rack.
No.
Unit to hold clothing. A closet, a rack, a drawer.
A box.
A box.
And to a mechanism used to return a wheel and a unit to hold clothing, add a stagehand involved with costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, a dresser.
A dresser.
Is exactly right. Oh, we're getting news from everywhere. That is another 4 points for that. And Barry, nothing on the line here except a little bit of honor for you. Let's see if you can get this. What's the word we're looking for? First defined as an illegal purveyor.
Scalper.
No, good guess. An illegal. Wonder what the second one was going to be. To an illegal purveyor, add a safety device on a power tool.
A thing that stops it.
Is the word boot? We're looking for boot.
Safety? No.
What's
safety?
It's the thing that stops it.
Well, no,
kill switch.
It's the thing that actually protects you.
A guard.
Yeah.
Pusher.
Oh, what
an illegal purveyor.
That's a great guess, but that's
a safety device on a what?
On a power saw, actually.
On a power saw, guide.
And to an illegal purveyor and a safety device on a power tool, a barrier enclosing a yard.
Fence.
Oh, a fence.
Is exactly right.
Of course, a fence.
For any of you who have fence things, that was a good close for you, 4 points, which gives you a grand total of 70 for the day. And that is a winning total for Barry Nolan's team. Congratulations, winners this week. Good job. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Kerry Flood and Jules Fisk and all the folks here at the Emerson Umbrella Center for the Arts who made this such an easy time for us. Sher and Salk and other writers, Antonio Oliart mans the meters, and Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. From the web this week, for those of you worried about the state of American education, this, written on the back of the New York State Regent examination. Please do not write on both sides of the paper at once. We'll fight the good fight here if you keep coming back. See you next week. You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Busted.
Thank you.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, you've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
Curry Ingram Academy recently brought back the 90s to its lower school spring concert. Led by music teacher R.C. Richmond, students K through 4 sang 90s favorites to parents, staff, and friends. The program included songs by groups Sixpence None the Richer, Boys to Men, Oasis, Foo Fighters, Vertical Horizon, Cranberries, Seal, and more. Curry Ingram lower school students attend music classes weekly and put on 2 concerts per year. Video clips of the 90s concert at curryingram.org/news.